Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I am Tim Dennis. Got an exciting show for you folks this Thursday, and we'll get into it in just a second. I can't wait to get into it here, as there is a chock-a-block full of stuff today. We have got a rich history to dig into today with our guest, Valerie Georgeson. I want to remind you folks that right now you can go to the description of the show and click on a link, and that link will take you to the UFO Disclosure Symposium. Darkness Radio is proud to partner up with the UFO Disclosure Symposium. And in that symposium, which takes place May 27th through the 29th in Vernal, Utah, you will see four videos that have not been disclosed to the public at large. In fact, there is a rich dais of speakers that will be at this symposium, both from the U.S. government and from some of the programs you've seen on television, that will get together, and scientists as well, that will get together and discuss these videos. Now, you can fly out to Vernal, Utah. There are packages, VIP packages, that allow you to have dinner and be close to these speakers. There is a general admission package that allows you to, you know, just sit in on the conference itself. It's a little less expensive package for you to enjoy the conference. Or there's a package that allows you to stream, because it is Memorial Day weekend, allow you to stream the conference all weekend long from anywhere in the world. You could be in France, you could be in England, you could be in India, you could be wherever it is you are throughout the world and take in the conference. And that, of course, is a less expensive package as well. All three packages are available. If you just go to the description in the show, there's a link there, and it allows you to take part in any of those packages. By all means, check it out. It costs nothing to look, I believe is what my grandfather used to say. Costs nothing to look. No obligation to buy, of course. But just check out the link. See for yourself. But it definitely is going to be newsworthy. We'll put it that way. Definitely a newsworthy conference. That's May 27th through the 29th in Vernal, Utah. It's the UFO Disclosure Symposium, and it's going to astound you. It's going to be quite the conference. So there you go. Let's get into today's program, shall we? I'm quite excited to have our guest, Valerie Georgeson, on our program today. The book is called God, the Devil, and Me, The Chronicles of a Seeker of God. Valerie Georgeson was born on August 11th, 1945. So we share a birth month, because I'm an August baby myself. She was born in South Shields County, Durham. Valerie studied drama and theater arts and English lit at Birmingham University before becoming an actress, working in repertory theater, radio, and TV. We share that as well. Then turning to writing for radio and TV. I'm right there with her. She was one of the first writers on EastEnders, and later a novelist. Or she was on the executive of the Writers Guild, chairing its film and TV committee, and was part of a campaign to protect children's television. She later joined the TV committee on the Society of Authors. Valerie married in 1969, and it was at this time that she received a vocation. One day you will write a book for God. 11 years later, she divorced and moved to London, but still had no idea what that book might be. Her interests then were volunteering as a Samaritan and running a human rights campaign. Her quest for God then took her into a sect of Sahaja Yoga. It was only after she and her new husband got out that Valerie's interest returned to public life. But the return to normal life was not easy. The guru was determined to block Valerie's career and stop her writing. It's only when Valerie and her husband converted to Roman Catholicism did a new path give them hope for escape from Sahaja Yoga's actual and psychic harassment. But first, Valerie had to sacrifice her career, exchanging it for a vocation of prayer. In 1998, they disappeared, cutting all ties. In France, they found solace working on their new house and garden. And later, they took a university diploma in theological studies. And as Valerie's husband was ordained as a deacon, slowly everything they had done in the sect was erased. And the book finally emerged. Naturalized in 2019, Valerie and her husband now have dual nationality and have finally integrated into a French life. And this is the book that has emerged in that one statement that was made to her that she would write that book for God. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to Darkness Radio, Valerie Georgeson. Valerie, thank you very much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you for asking me. It's very kind.
Well, it is truly our pleasure to have you here on the program. Boy, oh boy, you know, there is so much here and there's so much I have to ask you about. And again, I should state here that we have a lot of people that listen to this program that listen from all different faiths. So no offense taken here, Val. I'm going to state here, first of all, that the opinions that are stated here, of course, are what you have gone through in your personal journey.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind. So, yeah. Just so we aren't offending anybody that in our audience that may think otherwise. I am of course was raised of the Catholic faith. So I'm kind of on the same page as you. Describe for our audience your early upbringing and how you were raised. What faith were you initially raised in?
Well, I wouldn't say I was raised in any faith at all. My father was an electrical engineer, and he was fascinated by nuclear physics, by Einstein. It wasn't the Bible that lay around the house. In fact, it was Relativity for the Layman is the book that I remember particularly well. I was born in a seaside town, then we went further inland and I went to grammar school and then on to Birmingham University, as you said, all this. But my childhood wasn't easy. It was a darkish time. There was a lot going for it. I was very blessed in many ways, but it was a very tense family background, very stressful. And I'd recognized when I was in my teens that I was in a dark place. Really, looking back now, I can see I was depressed for a very long time. I was in a dark place, but I told myself that if you recognize darkness, then there's got to be light. Mm-hmm. It's logical. So there was light somewhere, and one day I would rise up and find it. And I taught myself meditation. I looked into Buddhism. I looked into all sorts of things. And when I went to university, I studied Matthias Alexander technique, which some of your listeners may have heard of, which helped me a great deal. It freed me quite a lot of the past, but I was lost still and deeply unhappy. It wasn't until I became a writer that I found myself. That's who I was. The acting was just sort of covering up the cracks on the surface, as you might say. So writing was what I was meant to do. But the light took a long time to come because it's a hard journey. Any seeker would tell you that. And I was a seeker. In fact, having a difficult childhood made me a seeker in some ways. So I was a seeker from the very beginning. And what I was seeking was the ultimate other. The God is what we tend to call the ultimate other, who is always there. Because when you are looking for the other, when we're all looking for the other, mm-hmm. Somebody to love us, somebody we can love, children, you know, we want to have connection with someone who's very important to us. We want love. We want to express our empathy. And this otherness is, it's not reliable. You look at a beautiful sunset and tears fall because it's just so beautiful. But why do the tears fall? It's because it's going to fade. You feel your heart reaching out to a loved one, sitting there reading a book or something like that, and you just look at them and you feel this reaching out of tenderness. But it's painful. And it's painful because that person may not always be there. They might die. Worse still, they might leave you. What you want is the ultimate other who is always there. And we're all looking for it one way or another. And you can call it by many names, but I find ultimate other covers most space. So that's what I was doing. I was doing it quietly, the self-taught meditations, self-taught studies. And there did come a point when I began to do quite well with my meditation. I began to have experiences, long experiences of an hour or more of total silence.
Can I listening. Stop you for a second, Val? I just have one question on what you just said. And that's this. You bring up the example of you know, the looking at a sunset and feeling that it's going to fade, or you feel that almost a sense of loneliness, which you're connecting to spirit. But do you feel like, and you're having read the book and reading of the relationships that you feel like failed, maybe even connected to spirit, do you feel like the representation of finding the right one also is connected to spirit? Do you feel like spirit brings along the right person, which could be a representation of God itself?
Well, it might be a sign of God's hand. I would say that with my present husband. We're very happy together. We came out of Sahaja Yoga together. Mm-hmm. And each without the other, I don't know if we'd have survived, quite honestly. It was a dreadful, dreadful time because the guru set out basically to destroy me and to separate us, and they took his daughter. It was just horrendous. But we got through together and with the help of God, and it changed our lives, obviously.
We'll get to that point. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut off the point that you were going to make. It's interesting that you lined up that point, and I'm always interested in the earthly ties to the other side, because, you know, we do tend to fix things on an earthly plane, but never look at the spiritual tie to the earthly plane. That's always the last thing we look at. When someone goes through a bout of depression, we throw them pills or we throw them therapy, talk therapy. If we just talk our way through it, it'll be okay. But then there's the immediate drop of, well, I don't feel okay. If I just, you know, I'll talk my way through it, but I feel worse. You know, all I'm doing is just talking with no resolution. You know, I don't feel like it's getting any better. What am I doing to solve the problem? Pills only seem to numb it. But that's why I asked the question, is there a tie from spirit to the physical to solve that issue?
Well, yes. If you give yourself into God's hands, really give yourself, and you don't make the mistake of giving yourself into a guru's hands, for example, somebody who is pretending to be God, then God helps very definitely. I have absolutely no doubt of that.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I cut you off from your point. You were going to make another point there, and I apologize for cutting you off.
I can't remember what I'm sorry. It was.
I didn't mean to cut you off there. We were talking about and again, I didn't mean to cut you off on that point. Let's talk a little bit. Okay, we were talking about your upbringing. You were talking about getting your finding your purpose as far as becoming a writer, and then your upbringing. That's where we're at.
So well, God definitely did intervene. With my first marriage, which turned out not to be a marriage, the church actually annulled it on 4 points. I could have had 4 annulments.
Well, let's talk about that first marriage. So now, in that first marriage, obviously you think you've found the man that was it.
No, I was desperate.
Well, what had happened in that situation? What did you think you had found in that marriage that made you want to marry that man?
Well, as I say, he was there. I was very lost, as I've already told you. I was extremely lost. I needed a very good friend. I needed somebody who would be there for me. I needed a partner. And at university in particularly, I was considered very attractive. I was considered very talented. The men were very attracted to me, but what I wanted was a friend. And the girls were jealous. So it was very difficult for me. Soon after that, and I finished at university, and I went into a repertory company. And it just happened, really. As I say, I was fairly desperate. I should never have married him. And I did my best, and I meant my vows, which he didn't. And it was because I was so sad and very aware that the marriage wasn't going anywhere. When I was actually working at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury, and I was playing a part in Alfie. And you know the famous line from Alfie, "What's it all about, Alfie?"
Yes. Yep.
I, between shows, I went into the cathedral and sat in an empty church practicing evensong. And I just said, what is it all about? What is the point of my life? And a voice spoke loud and clear as a bell, a voice I have never, ever forgotten in all my life. And it said, one day you will write a book for God. And I'd only just started writing. So I was completely taken aback, but quickly decided that one day I would know what it was. So there's no point in me thinking about it anymore. I'll just get on with my life and I'll know it when it happens. And it did happen. It certainly did. And becoming a writer, learning my craft, was very important in preparation for the writing of this book. And this was a time I was beginning to become myself, who I was meant to be. And the end of that marriage, which, as I say, turned out not to be a proper marriage, he hadn't meant his vows, so that kind of makes it a bit null and void. And then it was a long time before I found anybody else, and I found him in the cult in Sahaja Yoga. But he came out with me.
And wow. And now, so, and we'll get into that here in a second. I do want to ask you how one makes that transition. I understand that one has to be looking for something in order to find that cult or that sect. Tell me, what exactly is a sect or a cult?
A sect or a cult is a fusional society. It's closed. It's everyone has the same structure of power and manipulation, because that's what it's all about. That the person who heads it is being all powerful, and you are being manipulated the whole time. This particular sect was what I call a spiritual cult. There are activist ones, there are political ones, there are all sorts of cults. There's I don't know how many. I'm told in France they discovered that there was 500 new sects since the start of the pandemic. It beggars belief, really. But people are looking for some sort of community too. And I wanted to be with more like-minded people. I'd done all my meditation, all of that, on my own. And I just wanted to be with people like myself. And also, if there was any wise advice going, that would be great. And so I was willing to try it. I was given a photograph of this lady. And the photograph is actually like a gateway. My husband and I worked this out sometime after we got out. It's a gateway through which she can operate. She also is very telepathic. Not everybody is, but I was.
Okay.
And when I first knew that she could hear all my thoughts and I was able to communicate with her that way, I was impressed. I shouldn't have been. It's not as special as all that. But I was impressed by it. But she found out that I was a writer. And from that moment, she seemed to be trying to make me null and void, to get me further under her power. The truth was, she was afraid of me, and I didn't realize that to start with. But she wanted to destroy me as a writer. And when I'd had enough, I'd seen too many dreadful things, and I knew I was being manipulated to a point where I was losing my connection with God. I asked her telepathically, please give me back my desire for God. And it triggered an absolute onslaught of attacks from her. And that's when the whole thing really blew up.
Now, there are examples in the book that are kind of chilling. And let's rewind a little bit, if we can here, Val. Let's go over how you run into, or how you get recruited, if you will, into this sect. How you come about getting into this sect, because I think the story is a little fascinating as to how quickly you fall into it. Tell people how easy it is just to, if you're feeling a little lost, just how easy it is to kind of fall into a sect like this.
Well, we always say that no mousetrap works without a bit of cheese. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of cheese in most cults, cheese being bits of truth, sensible things, things you would agree with, anybody would agree with, in fact. And that's how it was with Sahaja Yoga. It was based on Hinduism, the very ancient teachings of Hinduism. And I must say, I found meditating on the Hindu gods very profound. And I have the greatest respect. For me, although I believe in one God, mm-hmm. I mean, there is one light. If it shines through a stained glass window, there are many different colors making a different pattern. And for me, that's what the gods of Hinduism are. They are all God. They are aspects of God, if you like. They're the different colors of the stained glass window. But it's this one light. So I was able to accept all that. That was no problem to me whatsoever. And I was meditating. But the problem for most people was that they meditated normally through this photograph of her. If you're doing that and not meditating directly with God, you're going via her as an adapter, if you see what I mean.
Right. Now, who introduced you to a photograph of her? Somebody had to bring her into your picture.
Yes, a friend of mine was a producer, a radio producer at the BBC, and one of the actresses in something she was doing at the time had been in a sect, I don't know which one, had got out in a very poor state, and then had fallen into this other one called Sahaja Yoga. And she wanted me to talk to her and find out about this Sahaja Yoga. So I agreed to that. I met her. I met the lady. And I went to some meetings to find out what it was all about. So it was a question of, well, I look at this, and if it's obvious that it's a bad thing, then I will say so and try and help this lady. And if there's something in it, then there's something in it, and take it a bit further. And that's what I did.
So you go to meet up with, I believe the leader is, you keep referring to her, but her name is it Mataji? Is that her name?
Mataji, yes. Well, it means mother dear, basically.
Mother dear, yes.
And so, she liked her devotees to call her mother.
Mother, yes. So you get this photo of her, and the way you describe the pose very much to me seems like a classic painting we see of Jesus. It's the one hand up for defense. Is it the right hand up for defense? The left hand out for almost like open. So you see the one hand closed, the one hand open. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah.
And if I remember right, what is the first vibe that you get from the photograph? It's not a good one, is it?
Yeah. She was able to produce good vibes. Yeah. The interesting thing is, I call it like going to the wrong side of the mirror, getting into any cult. On the wrong side of the mirror, everything's reversed. A truth is a lie. Day is night, black is white, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how it was in Sahaja Yoga. And when I got out, a lot of people find it hard getting out because this mirror, as I see it, they have to jump through it to get to the other side. That's what I did very happily. I said to myself, if this is heaven in Sahaja Yoga, then I don't like it and I'm not meant to be here. So I jumped happily through. And the great surprise was that everything changed and her good vibes suddenly weren't at all. There are some people who have so much difficulty, they can't go either way, and they get kind of stuck in the mirror. And those are the ones who end up in psychiatric units and committing suicide. I mean, there are some tragic stories of people doing that. But as I say, I was perfectly happy, and everything changed. It was quite remarkable.
It is. Let's take our break right now. When we come back, Val, let's talk a little bit about the subtle manipulations that started to happen with Mother and how it started to spiral out of control and the things that were starting to be asked of you and eventually how you needed to get out and then the persecution afterwards. Our guest is Val Georgeson. The book is God, the Devil, and Me, The Chronicles of a Seeker of God. We'll have a link to it right here in the description of the program. You can click on that link and then order the book from there. When we come back, the details of Mother and how exactly things got out of control. We'll cover that when we come back here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is Val Jorsen. The book is God, the Devil, and Me, The Chronicles of a Seeker of God. And when we were right before the break, we were talking about the leader of this cult, this sect, which for lack of a better term, we'll call her mother. And we were talking about Sahaja Yoga. Am I saying that right, by the way, Val, or am I not?
Yes, yes, okay. You're saying it fine.
All
yes.
Right. And the leader of this form of yoga, and how exactly she put herself between God and Val, and the different ways now we're going to talk about how she manipulated her sect in order to worship her instead of God. And I believe I'm kind of hitting that on the head, and that is she's putting herself, and this is the kind of the mark of a good cult leader, is they manage to sway themselves into their cult and put themselves between God and their cult, don't they?
Yeah, I guess that's so. It's not all that subtle, really, when you think about it.
Well, tell me a little bit about the first time you realized that you're being cut off from God directly, because that's not how it generally works in most religions.
It took a while. She ran a marriage list, a wedding list, and I was having no luck whatsoever with the chaps. I couldn't find a decent chap for love nor money. And and I thought, well, I might as well let her have give it a go and see if she comes up with anybody. Mm-hmm. And indeed she did. There was a very strange time when actually she was the one who was courting me, not the chap himself, who knew nothing whatsoever about it. But she was trying to persuade me into thinking this was a good idea. And she made it clear that it was her doing it. And I'll tell you a little anecdote of when I was asked to go and see a Chekhov play at the National Theatre in London by a friend. And while I was there, I was just thinking, sitting in the auditorium, I wonder who she'll pick up for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I had this vision of a man who I knew was the leader in the UK of the whole cult. She had people under her in charge of the nations, different nations. And I thought, oh my goodness, no. I didn't like the idea at all. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And at the end of the play, went home, and another friend phoned me and she said, would you like to go and see the Chekhov play at the National? I said, oh, it's all right, I've just been to see it. Thank you. Take somebody else. And she said, she laughed in a strange way and she said, no, you haven't seen it. And I heard another voice and she's at Mataji's house. And she was. And I thought, that's very strange. So I went along with her to see this play, and I realized I hadn't seen any of it at all. I'd been totally preoccupied with who this chap was going to be and what he would be like. And it was Mataji's way of telling me where it had come from, that she knew that I hadn't seen the play because she had been reading my mind, thank you very much, all the way through it. It took a long time, several months, but eventually he was called to Mataji's house and asked if he would like to marry me. And he said, yes, he would. And, well, he's sitting beside me here today. It was a very strange courtship, I have to say. But it was a testing one, too, as to how far I would put myself into her hands.
You have to forgive me here, Val. I mean, mind you, you have a very good marriage today, but that's... Isn't that have a little bit of a creep factor there that you're being put into a position where you have to absolutely put your trust into someone who's you already have a little bit of a mistrust in? I mean, at this point in your life, she's done some things to you, and we haven't talked about a lot of what's in the book, but she's thrown different tests at you, and there's been a yes. mental tug of war here between the two of you.
Yes.
You've tested her mentally. She's asked you to write a book and to call out, for lack of a better term, infidels. She's not very trusting of other religions, correct? I mean, you know, she wants you basically to call out different religions in this book.
No, she wanted me to write a radio series. It was calling out the different cults. She claimed to be anti-cult. It was one of her sort of, it was like a double bluff, really. But I did actually get a commission to write something. And I remember I got into such hot water with TM. There were people from TM in Sarj Yoga now. And I was threatened, my house being burnt down and so on, for exposing what witnesses told me, which I could put into the series. And in the end, I couldn't cope with it any longer. So I didn't finish writing that series at all.
So you have somebody who obviously is very headstrong and is looking to break your will, yet at the same time is wanting your absolute your absolute will to go with her, and she's picking out basically someone who's supposed to be your life partner, and yet you have a will of your own.
I liked him in the end.
I realize that, but I mean that's a huge decision to put into the decision making of someone that you don't have a lot of trust with, isn't it? Keep in mind,
I didn't trust him. If you're talking about trusting her or him.
Trusting her, not him, trusting her. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it was so much trusting her as making some decision about whether I trusted him. And it wasn't easy because his business went belly up. And his daughter was very, very difficult. I did not have an easy time of it at all. But I knew he was a very special person. He's an extremely intelligent person, more so than what I am. And I loved him. Mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. And he was very honest. In fact, Machaji once said to him, he was too honest. One of the many phrases that we remember that explain quite a lot. And she didn't like that. I'm also a very honest person. It's what I've written in the book is in God, the Devil, and Me. It's the truth. I have tried terribly hard to write as truthfully as I possibly can. And it's important because getting the book out there is getting the truth out there and hoping it will help other people. So, yeah, he's a fellow soul in terms of honesty and truth and genuinely being a seeker of God.
So let me ask you, Val, here an interesting question at that. You have someone who... And I may be skipping ahead a little bit to where I wanted to go in the ultimate destination here, but being that we're on the subject, I'll throw it out there. You have this man who is true, who speaks the truth, who comes across your path at a time where you really needed him the most, who's being introduced to you by someone who, for all intents and purposes, could be the devil walking on earth, who's put herself between God in the right path and you. Mm. But ironically has introduced you to the man you were probably meant to be with.
I think so. Yeah.
So how is it that all this happens when the person who doesn't walk the divine path puts everything yet together with you? How does the devil introduce you to your divine path? How does that work in your opinion?
I think she was playing a game. It's like she wanted me to write this series about cults because she knew I had a vocation to write a book for God. She was distracting me, using me as a writer, doing the right thing, sort of helping people by exposing sects. And then it's quite possible that me and my husband would have got together anyway, but we would have done so in rebellion against her. And she didn't want that. It could well be that she thought that she could tie me up. And she did tie me up. I had so much to do because I was having to earn our living. I was working a 7-day week. I had a very difficult little girl to deal with. And my husband was on call. He was Matage's son, not my husband. And she demanded all of his time. And I became thoroughly exhausted, but she was trying to get me under her control. But in the end, that actually exploded on her because, as I say, I knew what was going on. I had not given up my own independent thinking, my own free will. I'm a writer. I stand outside things and take notes. So I had the detachment necessary, and I had to have the courage necessary to just pull up short and say, no, that's it. That is it. But the repercussions were horrendous, but we're not sorry, are we?
There comes a time, Val, where everyone has to, I mean, keep in mind, let's backtrack here. You and your husband are in this sect, you're in this cult. There comes a time where you have to break away. Now, you're kept busy, you're kept working, you're kept working to the bone. Obviously, the two of you are tired. And the way the devil works is the devil works you to the bone to the point where you start to experience failure. And you were experiencing failure at one point.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about those failures and how things were starting to fall apart before you decided that you needed to get out. What kind of things were going on that you just couldn't take it anymore?
It was ridiculous. Everything I did, Marsden counted 40 different projects that I was involved with, either having submitted, a precy of what one was going to do, or jobs that had already started. And everything just went wrong. It was unbelievable. I'd never, ever had a time like that before. And I was seriously studying whether to become a Catholic. And I turned to God and said, well, you're not helping me. Why do you not want me to continue with work? And then I thought, well, I'll ask this. Do you want me to give it up, to sacrifice my career for the sake of people still in cults? Because he had already asked me to pray as much as possible for people in cults. And the answer came very simply, yes. There was no messing about. Yes. So, okay, well, that clears up the path ahead then. And I pulled out and we moved from London to France, and we had to go somewhere where we could live more cheaply. And that was very important. And also where we would be out of reach of people in Sarg Yoga. People couldn't find us, and that was intentional. We would give ourselves to a completely different life, and that's what we did. You've told a lot of the story from there on already.
What was the penalty you feared if they did find you? What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I had heard that there was somebody who was attacked with acid on the Paris Metro. I wouldn't put anything past Mataji, and anything she asked anybody to do, I'm pretty sure they would do it, no matter what it is. They had done things like producing fraudulent letters, kidnapping my husband's daughter. They had done criminal acts already.
Yikes.
So we had good reason to pull away from it and make sure that we would be safe and protected. And we were still attacked on the level of, well, what you might call magic or the occult, malicious spirits, that sort of thing. And we had the help of an exorcist who taught me really how to fight off demons, what to do. Thank God for him. He was wonderful. He helped for 2 or 3 years.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the exorcist and the exorcism and what exactly had to be done to purge everything?
It was different every time I went. It was not popular with what you might call the enemy of God. It was not popular at all, as my husband would drive us there to the presbytery of the parish where the exorcist lived. And every time we took that journey, he would have to stop the car so I could vomit.
Wow.
It was incredible, really. And things might happen en route, and you thought, be careful, be very careful, because the spirits, the malicious spirits, did not want us to go there. And eventually we did come to a point where he was confronting Mataji herself. I can't remember whether she had died by then or whether she was still with us, but he was confronting her, and she was saying, well, if I do that, if I let her go, then she will have her vocation. Oh, I don't know what that means. I didn't know, but perhaps it was the book, because the book exposes everything. Oh, there was lots of things. It was grueling. Exorcism is not for the faint-hearted.
No. No, it's not. And I'm not asking you to say the name, because you never say the name of what comes out in an exorcism.
Thank you.
Yes. But what when and I'm trying to think of a delicate way to put this, Val. but the demon itself reveals itself, I take it, as you're going through this exorcism. It finally revealed that it was not of pure intention. Is this correct?
Oh, absolutely. The demon, when challenged by the exorcist, and he did challenge the demon a lot, trying out Latin and French to do it, and it was amazing the difference it would make. And he would give false information, the demon. You know, he would tell lies. Basically, the thing is, whatever a malicious spirit or a demon tells you, you can't expect it to be the truth. You know, the devil is a liar, basically. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to take everything with a pinch of, well, several pinches of salt. And we used exercise salt quite a bit, actually, at the den. It's very hard work, exorcism, both for the person who's having the treatment and also for the priest. The poor man exhausted himself. But he wrote a foreword to the book, in fact, which we translated into English. He was a very good man, actually. Really was.
Is that exorcist still with us today?
I think so. He is now rather confused and living in a special kind of nursing home.
Okay.
We haven't seen him for a while. The pandemic made it impossible for us to go to see him.
Right.
Because everywhere was, you know, shut. Nobody was allowed in. And we haven't seen him for a while now.
A reason I ask is that I myself have a few friends that do exorcisms, and the life of an exorcist is not an easy one. It's hard on the body. It's hard on the soul. They do God's work. And unfortunately, it's a short life.
Yeah,
and God love them. It's they give their service to God and it's a fulfilling life in that you help people, and you get them away from evil. But at that, it's that,
takes its toll.
It does. It takes it. Thank you for filling in that gap. It does. It takes its toll. I don't know that I hesitate to ask this next question, but it's a tough question to ask, Val, in that I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to take a beat before you answer it, because it did bring you a lot of good in your life. But are there any regrets about following the yoga that you did, following the religion that you did? Because it did bring you a lot of pain. It did bring you your husband, but with the amount of pain that it brought you, are there regrets?
Well, I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it as something that had to happen. How could I have written this book if I hadn't lived it first? The books come out of it, and I'm privileged to have had a job to do in this life, and thank God I finished it before I die, because I didn't want to do it. It was too hard, but I knew I had to, and I'm just so grateful that I got there in the end, and I really am. And yes, I am privileged. But without having made the mistake, well, I guess God knew it was going to happen.
What is your life like today? And what is it a more peaceful life for you now?
Well, it's a lot more peaceful. We live in a very peaceful place, deep in French countryside, with two cats and a goose. And a huge garden and park, which is very beautiful, but too much work. The church is an important part of our lives, and we have a radio program in English on a Sunday morning. We do that. It's one every week. And we know people from the Anglican community, and we know a lot of French people. It was a very rich period when we went to, well, it was the university where we studied theological studies. And that was immensely enriching, and I think was essential to the writing of the book, actually. It helped me to understand some things. The philosopher Paul Ricoeur is... It was life-changing reading his work. So, and I did for my thesis, my closing thesis, I did a memoir on the subject of the church, the state, and sects, and how the state tries to control cults or find laws that work against them and that sort of thing. It's not easy. But... at the same time as they do that, the difficulty of putting constraints on genuine religions who really just want to do good. So it's a difficult situation for governments. So we learned a lot from that. I actually miss being a rather ancient university student. We didn't quite know whether to get a discount we should show our student cards or our pensioner's pass.
is the, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Is there and there may be a difference between France and America, or even Europe in general and America. Is there an outward more of an outward program to control cults in Europe than there is in America to control cults and sects?
There are attempts in France. France pushes forward more than anybody else, I think. In the UK, it's more about being there to support people when they get out, or to support families. Who've got somebody who's stuck in a sect and they can't do anything about it. The children have been sent away or whatever. and the grandparents are up in arms about it, that kind of thing. And Eileen Barker, who became a great friend of ours, she ran Inform. I think she founded it, in fact, which was government-funded, telling people about sex, and where you could go to find out what is this thing that my daughter's got into, etc. So it's more like that in the UK. To say in France, they do try to pass laws which make it difficult for sects to operate. But I don't know that it's very successful. And Macron has put money into exploring this situation because of the sects that are springing up everywhere. It's becoming a really very serious problem. And sects, you know, are one step away from being terrorist cells.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. It's fundamentally the same structure as a fundamentalist cell.
I know here in the U.S. there's been quite a bit more done, especially in the last 20 years, to kind of separate the difference between religion and sex and ferret that out a bit to make them more dangerous. Like you said, they're treated more like terrorist cells than they are anything else. Unless you can prove that harm is not being done to an individual, then you know, it can be operated as a religious commune, for lack of a better term. But if you can't prove that someone's not being hurt in the deal, then you're open to prosecution. At least you're open to having your funding cut off. They start by cutting off your funding, and then after that they start with prosecution, or at least they start with surveillance, then they go to prosecution.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah,
yes.
And they get very, very strict with it because they don't want an incident on their hands inside the U.S. borders, which is why you don't see, not saying you don't see them happening. They do happen on U.S. soil, and but they don't happen as often as they used to. Mm. I guess the one thing I do have to ask you here, Val, is for someone out there who may be struggling with their spirituality at this point, what advice would you give them? If they're looking at a spiritual path and they decide, you know, is it about what is it that feels good to me, or how do you tell them to keep on the straight and narrow? What's the one bit of advice you would give them to tell them, you know, this is how you stay on the side of the light? How do you stay away from being led astray?
It would help if they were people who meditated, prayed, because if they do, then I would say go deep and just test how it feels. Is there peace there or is there not? Because where the devil is concerned, there is never peace. But where God is concerned, there is always peace, even if you don't like what he says. It's Teresa of Avila came up with that benchmark. And I've always remembered it, and it's true. You pray for something, and if you get an answer and you don't like it, but there's peace with it, then you know this is something that has to be. And it will come right in the end. It's about being authentic, really, and being at peace with yourself about things.
It's a good piece of advice. Would you also tell people that you should never let somebody tell you that you can't talk directly to God?
Oh, of course you can talk directly with God. I think most of us do it most of the time without knowing it, really. He's always there, always listening. It's just us that need to start listening, because, you know, even in church and when you pray, people are always throwing words at God, mm-hmm. asking for things, saying litanies or whatever. And the most important thing is to stop talking, stop thinking, and start listening. Because it's not that God might say something necessarily, but it's in the silence where God exists.
But if somebody says to you, you need to go through me, is that the first red flag that you need to back away?
Oh, yes. You knew I would say that.
Yeah. Okay. The name of the book is God, the Devil, and Me, The Chronicles of a Seeker of God. Valerie Georgeson has been our guest. Again, we have a link to the book right in the description of the program. By all means, go ahead and click on that. We've only scratched the surface, folks, of what is in this book. It is a fascinating book. I'm telling you, there are things in this book that will absolutely just astound you as to if you want a guidebook of ways that you could be, for lack of a better term, just turned around in a cult or a sect or things that will absolutely make you cringe as far as being pursued by a cult or things that would. I mean, Val's story is just amazing as to how she was pursued, but then again, it does have a very happy ending as she meets her husband and gets out of this cult or this sect. It really is a handbook as to how to get through life, get out of your situation, and end up winning in the end. Val, I really do applaud you for really getting through this and making a triumph, you know, getting triumphant and getting out of this. I'm sorry that you went through all this. I don't know what else to say other than I'm sorry. I know you realize that you had to go through this in order to get this out so that other people can learn from your experience. But I always, you know, I just want to give you a big hug as to, you
oh,
know,
bless you.
You know, what you did have to go through, because I really feel like, you know, I hate the fact that, you know, you were taken advantage of. That in all seriousness, that to me is what is the most heartbreaking thing about the book, is that you really do feel your pain throughout all 560 pages of this book.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you felt so much, really.
Well, and that there are lessons. There are very good lessons in this book. And it gives people a roadmap, is what it really is. It gives people a roadmap as to what to look for when you are on that spiritual road. And there are a lot of people that listen to this program that are on that spiritual road that are looking for answers. So I feel like this is really a good book when you're on that road and you're you know, looking for those answers, and not just answers on the spiritual side, but answers really for everything. Maybe even when you're looking for a mate or looking for that special someone, and that special someone will come along in your life that's destined. Val will show you that, hey, you know what? Even when you're not looking or you are looking, you don't necessarily need to force it. That person will come along. So. Val Georgeson, I want to thank you so much for being with us here on Darkness Radio.
Thank you for asking me on your show. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. The pleasure's been all mine. Folks, I want to thank you so much for being with us this week. It's been a great week. And again, we've got more good stuff coming up for you next week We've got some good guests lined up for you next week as well. Want to remind you, the UFO Disclosure Symposium is taking place May 27th through the 29th. Four videos that have not been seen by any of you, because it's been top secret, will be revealed at that UFO Disclosure Symposium. We want you to click on the link in the description of this program. Take a look at the tickets that are available there. There's a VIP session in Vernal, Utah. There is a general admission session, and you can stream from home. You don't necessarily have to go to Vernal, Utah to see these four top secret videos. It'll be weighed in by some of the most well-known authorities in the field. And some of those people you've seen on television, some of those people are top secret government people that will be at that conference. By all means, there's a link to that conference, that symposium, in the description of this program. Click on it. It costs nothing to click on the link and take a look at who's going to be there. Take a look at what's going to be featured there. Take a look and see if you want to attend that conference for yourself. Darkness Radio is proud to be partnered up with the UFO Disclosure Symposium. So take a look at that link as well. Thank you very much, folks, for being with us here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This has been Darkness Radio.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.